Vegans in the hood, one time. Bless up to the hood. Do not attempt to adjust your color. Happy New Year's Eve. Fam, what up, though? Hope everybody's doing amazing. Wanted to round up the year with you guys and, you know, just do a roll call for the end of 2018, transition into 2019. You know, 2018 was a very, very, very interesting year. Hood to Health Podcast, Season 2 covered water. And we got into a lot of conversation about, you know, water and the consumption of water, different types of water. I mean, you know, you name it. We ran the gamut. Season 3 is going to be myriad of different things. It's going to be different hosts coming in. I'm going to have a revolving host. It's going to be really dope. It's really looking promising right now. So I'm excited to, you know, bring you guys season 3. We've been talking to different distributors, and I'm excited to soon announce just another way that we're going to be outputting our Hood to Health podcast. So thank you. Thank you for everyone that, you know, started this journey with us in the podcast world, because, you know, that wasn't something that we ever intended on doing until we just kept getting bombarded with, hey, you know, you guys should do a podcast. You know, I would sit and talk to, listen to you guys all day. So glad people who inspired us to do that. And we're really looking forward to Programmatic Audio for 2019. And to align with really dope plant-based pioneers and interview them, and again, other hosts that I'm going to bring on, that's going to make the experience just so much more vast and wide. Really excited for that. But yeah, fam, so 2018 was the year of reflection, and it revealed a lot of things for, well, to me. And, you know, it gave me a perspective on planting seeds and keeping the people who you really love and really appreciate close to you. And it also spoke to me about frivolous relationships, and, you know, with the rise of social media, and I can say rise right now, well, back then, but I feel like, you know, social media is coming to a halt. It's going into a dark space, and, you know, we're not off that. You know, we don't really worry about, you know, the additions or the subtractions. You know, we take it with a grain of salt. We appreciate everyone that's been here forever, and we appreciate the ones who have just come across us and that support us, and, you know, are not just watching just to see what happens and to take our shit and sell it around the corner to their page. And, you know, we're really not off that, you know. But yeah, we definitely appreciate all the support we've been getting. I had the flu last week. This shit was crazy. And I never get sick. So that was a lot last week. It's interesting because I kind of know where I got it from, how I caught it. Just to make a long story short, someone in our store was sick, and you know, we knew they were coming down with, or we knew they had the flu, and I was kind of in the space that they were in, and I'm like, oh shit, they were over here, let me, you know, wash my hands or disinfect my hands. And I was going to go get I was getting some disinfectant, and you know, basically I use an essential oil that's an antibacterial, and before I can do it, someone walked into the store, and my attention had got, you know, side swiped. And before I knew it, I was rubbing my eye or touching my nose or some shit, and I'm like, oh shit, I didn't get a chance to wash my hands. And right then I was like, I got it. And this was like on maybe a Saturday. And by Monday evening, I felt it dropping on me. I felt this shit coming down. And by Tuesday morning, it was a wrap. I couldn't even move my back. I was hot and cold. I couldn't eat. The one great thing about it that I didn't get nauseous. Like, I wasn't throwing up and shit like that, because that would have just sent things over the top. You know, it would have been really, really, really bad, because just the symptoms I had felt like death. Shout out to everybody that hit me up and with the well wishes, with the remedies, the grandma remedies and all that. I really appreciate the love. But yeah, so what's today? Monday. I got over that flu by Friday. I was feeling, you know, 70% better. By Saturday, better than that. Sunday, better than that. And today, I feel good. So again, thanks to everybody that was sending me love. Appreciate that. Shout out to our co-host for season 2, HD. You know, childhood friend. Really did his thing on season 2 to keep the conversation going. And, you know, we appreciate the time that he was able to spend on season 2. Word. But like we said, season 3 is really about the revolving host. We might see HD back as a revolving host. And we have some other hosts we're going to be integrating in. We have really, like, again, really dope interviews lined up for you guys. So excited about that. If you're not already, please go over to our YouTube channel. A lot of the stuff that we'll be dropping this year is not going to be on social media. I repeat, a lot of the content and projects that we will be dropping this year will not be on social media. They will be on YouTube, though. Subscribe. Ring the bell. If you support us, we fuck with you. Thank you. But yeah, like I said, 18 was a really, really interesting year for growth for me. It showed me a lot. It showed me who people were. It showed me how much I meant to certain people and how much I didn't mean to others. I I think this is the year, 2019 is the year of who's who. And frivolous relationships are going to go in the trash can for a lot of people. I think people are waking up, and, you know, I use that word loosely, waking up, right? But I think that, and yeah, let me delve into that, you know, a little bit. You know, the conscious community or the conscious world, you know, it seemed like everybody was conscious in 2018, 2017, everybody became conscious, but it was like this mainstream consciousness. It's like you had one foot in consciousness and the other foot in the strip club. It was just, it was very, you know, my visual language just didn't register with a lot of different shit that was going on. You know, I think when you start seeing like places like Sephora putting out witch kits, shit is about to implode. Right. Sephora tried to put out witch kits, Wiccan kits, witchcraft kits. I don't even know what to call these shits. But yeah, they got shut down though. You know, they got shut down. The witches of the world shut that shit down. You know, they made their stance saying, you know, we are real witches out here and you can't reappropriate our witchcraft or our witchdom. Which Wiccan, I don't know what to, how to even communicate it, but whatever it is, Sephora got a foot up their ass, and they, you know, it got, the air got taken out, but they were ready to reappropriate the shit out of some witch kits. They like, oh, this is hot now, let's sell witch kits. What? So you're going to see that, you know, 18, 19, you know, you're going to see all kinds of just ridiculousness. You know, everything is on trend now. Veganism is on trend. I remember I came into this, it was controlled by rich white ladies. They were the gatekeepers of this industry, of this lifestyle, I should say. But now it's, yeah, definitely turning into an industry. And our objective was to turn it from looking so white and unaccessible was to show people in the hood that you too can be healthy. You don't have to come from this affluent background to be healthy. Right? They selling you health like it was a luxury. And the price tags that they put on this lifestyle, it might look like a luxury. And people might, you know, think one time before they think about eating something that's going to be healthy versus the consumerism that they're being bombarded with. They're not being bombarded with consumerism of eating healthy. They're being bombarded with consumerism of, you know, you got to look like this, and you should be wearing this, and you should be driving this, and you should be living here, and you should be all this stupid shit that don't mean nothing. No thing. You know, people have their own definitions of success. And I think, you know, in the past I had my own, right? I thought that success was, you know, things and possessions and, you know, shit that don't have anything to do with anything. I took my power back 10 years ago. And with this journey, there's been so many other intersectional things that have come up. And I've been blessed this year to be acquired by, and I say acquired, but I want to use the word you know, different companies understanding what I do and understanding that I don't need to look a certain way to operate in a certain fashion with professionalism. I don't need to look like I've conformed to society to be creative and to be intelligent. So whether it's the lifestyle specialist role that I do for this company, or if it's the social media manager that I'm doing for this company over here, if it's the consulting that I'm doing for another company, if it's the designer, curator, creator stuff that I'm doing for my own company, if it's the co-partnership that I'm doing with, you know, my partner of creating a sustainable lab where we use as a retail space to sell our ethically made fashion, whatever it is, I've been blessed this year. And it's been hard as well. It's been adversities. There's been a lot of things that have come in and, you know, look like adversity. It looks like shit that make you want to quit. It looks like things that might send you back to corporate life to go get a job and work for someone and say, hey, that's just easier to do. You know, let me just go get this check. Fuck working for myself and acquiring, you know, new clients and all of that. Let me just go and get in line with everybody else and conform. And don't get me wrong, I salute anyone that chooses that road. I'm not judging anyone that has picked that path. That's fine. I'm just saying it's not for us. You know, it was a means to an end. You know, one of the most difficult things that I've been going through in the last 3 years is co-parenting. I would say 2 years. And, you know, I got wind, and I might have mentioned this in a podcast. I don't know. Maybe I haven't mentioned it because all the podcasts this season was about water. But sometimes we get off topic and chop it up about other things and get back on the script, to the script, right? But one of the biggest things or most difficult things that I had to go through is co-parenting and the fact that my son had to move out of state 2,000, 3,000 miles away. And now I'm co-parenting through FaceTime, phone calls, gifts. You know, now I have to plan my years around, or my year around, you know, the not even, can't even call them vacations. They're trips I have to make just to spend time with my son around his schedule of school. And it's not like I can just jump on a plane and, you know, go see my son. It has to be around the scheduling, which is crazy. And just to give you just a short backstory is that, you know, I have joint custody of my son. And basically what happened was she fled the state without going to the court saying, hey, I'm about to leave the state. Do I have permission? Right? So basically it was a kidnapping. Because if the father, hear me out, if the father would have had custody of a child and decided to get up and leave the state, what would that be considered? The story gets deeper, but, you know, this is probably not the time and the place for that. But just to, you know, I always talk, keep it real with my fam, and, you know, I don't try to cut pages out my book. You know, it's what it is. These chapters are the chapters that transition you into your next chapters. So to omit these things would be a travesty to who you are. And, you know, don't get me wrong, you know, the story is that she lost her job and that, you know, she looked around for all these jobs and, you know, stateside. I'm sorry, in our state, couldn't find them. But, you know, this one school on the West Coast was like, hey, you know, come out here. And if you come out here, we need you immediately. So we need you to come out here as soon as possible. Maybe that story was true. Does that story negate the fact that you didn't do the same thing that you did when you wanted us to share custody and co-parent, you know, on the books, quote unquote? I call the books, you know, the court system. You wanted to go through the court, so you wanted them to referee, you know, our co-parenting and yada yada yada. All right, whatever, you know. Is that what you want to do? Well, okay, we'll take our son through the fucking court system. That's intelligent, what intelligent people do, right? But you didn't do those same steps when it was time for you to flee the state. That tells you something else, right? Because guess what? I would have said no. Or you thought I would have said no. You know, I look at it as that girlfriend that guys don't know they have, that you only find out you have when you cheat. The girlfriend that would have been like, yo, you didn't know I would have been down with us doing threesomes and yada, yada, yada. Dude is like, oh, shit, word? I didn't know you. Can we? She like, nah, you should have came and talked to me first and gave me that option. The fact that you didn't give me that option, it negates everything now. We don't get to do it over. That's you should have came to me and talked to me and communicated it. So, yeah, fam, you know, one of the hardest things that I've ever done as co-parent. Because it's just so many variables and there's just so much non-control that you have. And I think a lot of this shit is for control. It's, you know, it's for one of the parents want to look, you know, they want to look like they've doing all this stuff themselves. And they want to look like, you know, and you know, this is what people do that are, you know, they power trip, you know. And I can I can pull all kinds of different receipts and all this shit, but I'm not even going to go into that. But I just want, you know, the women that listen to me, the men that listen to me, to hear me out, yo. And if it comes down to your kids, make that decision for the kids. What's going to be best for the kids, not best for who's going to look dope coming out of the situation. Who can I make the kids, you know, look at as more of the parent? Who can I, you know, like, don't do that shit. That shit is whack. Regardless of whatever happened between you and the other person, don't start, you know, using pawns in the game. Because the only pawn you're using is your own kid. And you're not hurting nobody but your seeds. That sounds real generic, right? I know. And I don't think talking, you know, creating a more complicated dialogue about it, or, you know, getting deeper into it would clarify or explain this concept anymore. I think to put it as simple as that gives you, you know, all of the information that either one of you would need to stand on. Like, if it's about us, let's just keep this about us. And let's, you know, basically, whatever didn't work, hey, you know, that's what happens. But guess what? You know, one of the things that they say is that anytime you lose a parent, I don't care if it's to a divorce, to a death, that you have, what's the word? Basically, you know, at some point, you're going to need to go talk to somebody. Not growing up with both of your parents in a house, are the grounds of being able to, or having to, put certain pieces back in your head. It's trauma there. Right now, my son has trauma because we haven't been together. Or he hasn't been able to see me like we used to. Just weekends here, go get my son. He has trauma right now. He might be smiling and he don't even see it, but there's trauma being inflicted as we speak, because he's not with his father, period. Again, I want to thank all our supporters, because I know who you are. Like, I watch the board. I have another social media manager. She watches the board. And, you know, we know who's who, man. And we know who just be coming through trying to watch what we doing and then trying to do it on their page. And we know all that shit. But for the true supporters, people that really fuck with us, who hold us down, who be ordering shit, who listen to our podcast, to be hitting us up saying, yo, that particular episode, it helped me. Yo, send me pictures of the blessipes and struggle pots that they've made. It means a lot. We appreciate that. Again, if you're not subscribed to Vegans TV, please head over to our YouTube channel. Subscribe to Vegans TV. A lot of the links you can click through our Instagram page. We've been building a community, a back community, that we're going to be launching the website this year. And, you know, when I first started, like, thinking about what I actually want the website to be, it was just so many different things that ways I can go. So this is the reason why we don't have a website right now, because it was just so many, it was so vast in ways we can go. But we've kind of narrowed down to really what we want our web community to be about. So it's going to be really, really dope. I can't, you know, this is going to be dope. I can't wait to drop this shit on y'all this year. Drop these new projects. It's just so many different things that's been happening. As I was telling y'all with the nonprofit that we launched, we've been working on this nonprofit, Express Art, for about a year, and we are launching it this next 2019 March. And you know, when I left the label in 2005, it's crazy. When I left the label Universal Motown in 2005, you know, I still consulted for different labels. You know, my boss, when he got fired, that's why I left the label, as we got fired. He got fired. So, you know, you get fired, everybody gets fired. But when he left, he went to another label and became, you know, a really pivotal piece over there. You know, he still gave me jobs and still kept me working and was still my mentor, and, you know, and I really was turned off by the industry at that time. I would rather work from my house for a bunch of different labels doing what I did versus going into somewhere, you know, smiling every day to people who really don't give a fuck about you, who really wants to reappropriate your intellectual property and make millions of dollars for their beach house, for their summer homes, for their New York penthouse, for their kids' college fund. All these millions of dollars, you're making it for their family, not for yours. They're basically telling me and whoever else that came in like me, hey, you know, the people who know are supposed to know what you're doing around here. Because they know if they give you credit, then now you become valuable. Right? And I came in off the street. I came in the game. One day I was selling drugs, and next day I decided I don't want to sell drugs no more. I had a lot of money put up, and I just started interning. Interning for 3 years, 4 years probably, before I actually got a job. So I looked at it as school. I looked at it as I'm going to intern until I learn the business long enough, and then I'll get my job, because now I'm educated and I know how this business works. And that worked. But by the time I got my job, I only stayed for about 2.5 years before I was like, yo, you know what? This shit is really not, because I already interned for 4 years and really getting shitted on. So when I saw that even when you get a job, you still get shitted on, I was like, oh, nah. This is not, and you know, and that just the environment, that music industry environment is very dog eat dog. You know, everybody's job is on the line. Everybody's looking at you as you about to take their job. Everybody is on edge. Everybody is trying to fire someone because they don't know who's about to take a job. So, you know, you might just get fired because they thought you was about to take somebody's job. you know? So, you know, once I saw that, you know, it was very disenchanting for me. But I had the knowledge and I was like, you know what? I can just go on and do other things. Create other wills. Not new wills, but just make the will move differently. Right? But again, I want to reflect on the last year, and I want to tell you guys, if you have people that really love you, hold them tight, because the universe sends us people that are here to help us, and a lot of times we hurt those people too. A lot of times we out here hurting the people that were sent to help us. It's a shame, right? So I want to tell y'all, I dropped this post the other day. It was about Dame Dash, and he was just talking about sometimes out here you're alone. And it takes fearlessness to be alone and do your thing and not conform, not follow the crowd. When I was in the projects, when I was little, it would have been easy for me to follow the crowd. I was the kid out in the project wearing the Gap. I was wearing, you know, Eddie Bauer. I was wearing American Eagle, Aeropostale, and getting cracked on. Because back then, you know, all the kids were rocking Starter and Champion and XYZ. And I'm coming through with button-ups and looking all preppy and shit. Because I was exposed to shit. Even though I was from the hood, I was still exposed to just different things. And I think, you know, back then, you know, as a only child, it taught me about being alone. And it taught me about creating things that you can't bounce anything off of anybody else. There's nobody else, you know. Back then at that age, it was like, you know, you're outside playing and shit, and your homie, he got a brother. They about to go inside. The lights came on, street lights came on, and they about to go in the crib with each other. Your homegirl, she about to go in the crib with her two sisters. The other homie, he about to go in the house with his little brother. Like, you know, and guess what? I'm about to go in the crib. My mom's probably in there with her boyfriend or some shit in her room, locked in her room somewhere. And I'm about to jump on, what, Nintendo? My little brother. So, I've had a lot of time to know what working things out for yourself and being using your imagination, right? I don't have a problem with that. And I value that I actually want to fucking be around. I value people who I can share space with and not want to go into my own world and stay there as long as possible and not come out. Just because, you know, I've had friends and families that has that have come from, you know, a part of my life that all they did was say, nah. All they did was tell me why something wasn't going to work. You know, all they want to do is tell you why not to be an individual. Right? You know, you come with ideas, nah, that ain't going to work. Yo, I'm talking about uncles, aunts, mothers, you know, people that's close to you that's supposed to be supporting your aspirations and supporting things that you want to do or you're coming up with. And again, you know, I commend my moms for working hard to be able to send me to these after school programs and these camps and all, because there I met people that I knew from nowhere that treated me better than I knew people that I knew all my life. There is where I met people that supported my creativity and shared with me things that I would have never come into contact with or never have, you know, had never picked up. It's who I am now. So yeah, my personality can be rigid sometimes because I've seen it all before. You know, if you look at Instagram now, do you see the conformity? Do you see the robotic, the cloning of just everyone? Like everybody's just a fucking clone. You go to every page, it's the same shit. It's like the same post. It's like the same verbiage they're using. It's like the same poses. It's the same, like, y'all don't see that shit? I'd be like, wow. So everybody's doing the same shit, huh? It's like it comes from the top. Like, you know, whatever celebrity is popping, whatever influencer, quote unquote, is supposed to be popular, then you go to their, they set the trends and you go to their page and then everyone that follows them is saying what they're doing what they're doing, posing like they're posing, watching what they're watching. I'm like, wow. This is crazy. This is crazy. But people, I love y'all. Our supporters, we really, really love y'all. And we wish y'all the best in 2019. We wish you health, first and foremost. We wish you prosperity. We hope that your family grows tighter. And we really hope that our community feels that we're accessible and they want to build with us and take on projects. You know, if you feel that you're a dope host and you're dope, and you have something to bring to the table and add to what we're doing over here, please send us, email us your air test. Email us, you know, a 30-second drop on why you want to be a part of, you know, season 3 of The Revolving Host. I didn't really get into, you know, express art and everything that we're going to be doing. But again, when I left the label, it was always to, yo, how do I create a label right here in New Jersey that is going to teach, educate, and then add these other attributes on, right? And be a real intersection for New Jersey artists. An ecosystem for New Jersey artists. That was something that I thought about back in 2006, 2007, before I left the state, when I was like, you know what, I don't even want to do music no more. I'm about to go to, you know, I'm about to go out to the desert, to Arizona. I moved to Arizona and started, you know, shooting skateboard films and doing other shit. Subsequently, I got back into music out there, but, you know, I left with removing that from my repertoire. And that was a chapter. It wasn't like I'm about to remove this forever. It was just like, yo, I don't even want to think about this shit right now. I'm going to go and do some other things and see where that brings me. But it was a dope experience. And I'm excited to bring you this Express Art concept, because I think it's going to change the world. I think me and my team with this Express Art is going to change the world. And I'm not saying that because I'm just trying to throw that out there. Nah, this curriculum that we have, this concept that we have, is going to change the world. And it's not a local program, it's an international program with that's anchored in a local community. So with that said, I'm super excited about that. I'm super excited about V&DH Media and the projects we're bringing you this year. Super excited about, you know, just spending more time on the West Coast with my son this year. And just super excited to just be free. Because I think, you know, a lot of us are looking for freedom, and that looks different to a lot of different people. Freedom looks different to a lot of different people. Same as success. It looks different. The average person, you ask them, well, what is successful? And the first thing they're going to say is money. They're going to start talking about, you know, some type of monetary concept. That's cool. I get it. For me, money is a tool. It's just a resource. It just gets me to do more projects. It's not to, you know, buy a house. It's not to fucking buy a car. It's not to ride around in my money. I don't use it for that. That's just not what I'm into. Don't get me wrong. I like money for what it can do for the things that I want to do, not for things that I want to buy. I like money because it gives me freedom. So when I use the word freedom, understand what that means. I love y'all. Have a happy new year. Have a healthy new year. And we look forward to building with you. Vegans in the Hood, one time.